Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So this week I want to talk about my blood test results. So in last week's episode, I said that I was going to get blood tests done. Nothing alarming. I'm healthy, especially after I've seen my report. I can confirm that I am healthy. I'm not just guessing it, but I needed to get blood tests done, obviously, because I am going to be going on ADHD medication. Now, I went into detail about this in the last episode, but yeah, I just want to see what it can do for me because I feel like I wear loads of different hats. The most mundane task feels like a mountain. I have very bad short-term memory. I've trouble concentrating for long periods, etc. So I was assessed for it. It turns out I have it. I spent a year trying to use a holistic approach, you know, building schedules to help me organize things, lists, etc., to break down tasks and stuff. And I just still feel like it's a bit of a burden on me. So yeah, I had to go and get a full medical done, basically, with blood tests before the psychiatrist would put me on any medication, because obviously they don't want to take the fall if I was to react in any way to the medication. So while I went to get it done, I went to the Godiva clinic, I think that's how you pronounce it, it's in Carlow, and they did a sports performance blood test on me. So they basically analysed loads of stuff under the bonnet with a urine test, and they took 6 vials of blood. The whole experience lasted about a minute, like when they took 6 vials of blood. I thought it was going to take a lot longer. I never got my bloods done before, so I was a bit nervous. Had to fast for 12 hours beforehand. So the last meal I had was at like 7 p.m. the night before, and the next thing I had to eat was at 12 o'clock the following morning. So yeah, it was actually a really pleasant experience. I got a hydrofacial as well afterwards, and it was literally like putting a Hoover to your face and sucking out all the dirt. But yeah, everything went well, and then I got the results back today. But before I jump into that report, I just want to do a quick analysis on my calorie deficit. So today is the start of week 4. So I know I usually, the last 2 episodes have gone up on a Sunday, but I wanted to wait till Monday because today I was getting my blood results back and I wanted to do a podcast on that. I didn't want to wait a full week before I could discuss that, which is, but yeah, this week was the start of week 4 of my calorie deficit. And still holding within the 65 kg range. Like I said, first 2 weeks I was at maintenance anyway. Wasn't expecting the scale to budge. Third week, calories slightly dropped on training days. Still not in a full deficit. And I have my check-in with my coach on Wednesday. So I don't know whether calories are going to drop again. But that is going to tie into like how the weight hasn't changed yet. That is going to tie into something that popped up in my blood results. So I'll get to that shortly, but I've been still doing 5 cardio sessions a week, 5 training sessions. You know, I haven't drank any alcohol during this calorie deficit. I've been really good. I haven't veered off. I have been training, obviously, for the half marathon that's on the 5th of July in Clontarf. Now, obviously, I am getting to the point now where I have to do long runs on the weekend, and I did a 15-kilometer one there yesterday, which was Sunday. The week before was 10 kilometers. The week before that was 12. So I could do a whole separate podcast on this, but just to summarize, I am in a calorie deficit, obviously. And I did once say, and I won't hide from that I wouldn't recommend being in a calorie deficit while, you know, training for a half marathon or a marathon. Like, I think with a half marathon, it can be done. Like, it can be done. For a full marathon, like, you're running, like, you know, 25 kilometers. I actually have flip-flops on. And whatever way I stand, like, they make like this farting noise, so it's not me farting. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to take them off because I'm standing up while I'm recording this. Fucking Birkenstocks. But anyway, sorry, where was I? So yeah, I did say that I wouldn't recommend going into a calorie deficit, especially not doing a full marathon, because Jesus, you're doing 25 kilometer runs up to like 24 kilometer runs. It would be hell on earth. But I done a half marathon in March, and I was away 4 times this year, and you know, I was obviously fueling for that half marathon. I trained well for it, I was eating properly for it, and you know, because I was away 4 times, my diet wasn't optimal. You know, I was probably in a surplus while I was away. And then I have another half marathon at the end of September, and then I have the full in October. So there's never going to be really be a good window between now and the full marathon for me to do a calorie deficit. And I don't want to wait until after the full marathon, because what's going to happen is my weight's going to keep climbing. And it just means that, you know, the hill is going to be bigger for me to climb by the time October comes around. And I just don't want my weight compounding that much, because I know it is going to compound, especially, you know, if I'm going to start training properly for the full marathon, I will need to be fueling properly for that. And I plan to do this calorie deficit up until the end of August. And then I'll go back to maintenance and I'll be fine then for the other half marathon, the Dublin one in September and the full Dublin in October. But there's never going to be a good window between now and then. So I'd rather just do it now for the duration of this half marathon and just eat at maintenance calories the day before a long run and the day of the long run. And it's doable, you know, because you're going to be burning a hell of a lot of calories when you're going like 12, 15, even 18 kilometers, like, you know, close to like 1,000 to 1,500 calories on some of those runs. So I'm going to be burning a hell of a lot of calories anyway while I'm eating at maintenance on those days. So it kind of just like balances out. But from like Monday to Friday or Saturday, whatever day I go on my long run, usually a Sunday, I will obviously be in a deficit. And then obviously I'll be eating more carbs. I'll still be eating at maintenance on the day before a run, but I will favor carbs more than protein. So say my protein goal is 140 and my carb goal is 200. Well, I'll probably only have 100 grams of protein, but probably have 250 grams of carbs, you know, but I'll still be at maintenance calories because the calories I'm taking from protein, I'm putting towards carbs. So it all balances out. I know that sounds really complicated for the untrained ear when it comes to nutrition, but again, I could do a whole separate podcast, but I'm fine so far. I haven't been noticing it affecting my times or anything or affecting my energy. Yesterday when I went on a 15 kilometer run, I was still maintaining, you know, a 5:38 pace, which is really good. And I plan to try do a sub 2 hour half in Clontarf. I got 2:04 at my last half marathon and that was my fourth. So that was obviously a PB. So I would be delighted to get 1:59 even. So it's just obviously about fine tuning during these long runs, you know, learning from my mistakes now rather than learning on the day. But yeah, training has gone well, and I'm doing 3 runs at the moment each week. So I did say that I'm doing cardio after each gym session. So obviously if I'm doing 3 runs, I just replace machine cardio with a run, and one of those runs is a long run. So I'll do say 3 cardio sessions during the week, and then my long run nearly counts as 2 cardio sessions because I have to do 5 30-minute sessions. But a long run could be an hour up to an hour and a half. So I'm not doing 5 30-minute sessions on the Stairmaster and then doing the long run as well. Like, Jesus, there'd be nothing left to me, or should I say, I'd be fading away with, like, you know, lack of energy. But anyway, that's how the calorie deficit is going. But again, I'm going to loop back around to that when I start talking about my blood results, which I will jump into now. I was on a call with the girl, Catherine, who done my blood test for me, and she sent those bloods off to a lab, Randox. I don't know whether you're familiar with them. And they sent a report back, and it's a really, really easy report to understand. And I'm going to just open it now. Where are we? I should have really had this open anyway. But I'm just going to go through the table of contents and just to show you like what they actually analyze within this report. Okay, so this table of contents now. So personal health measurements, so that's obviously, you know, your muscle mass, your bone density, your fat mass, etc., what you weigh and stuff, your full blood count, your iron status, your heart health, your diabetes health, kidney health, liver health, nutritional health, muscle and joint health, bone health, infection and inflammation, pituitary and adrenal health, thyroid health, hormonal health, and then results for your doctor. So that's all, like, it's like fucking like web design, the results for your doctor part. It's just numbers and, you know, it looks like a maths equation, stuff I'd never have to use in the real world. But 91% of the report was in range. It was green. 3% was amber, so in between, and 6% was red, out of range. So obviously within each heading, there was a number of things that were tested. So just to give you an idea, so under kidney health, urea was tested because I had to do a urine test. Nutritional health, and underneath that heading was B12. Okay, so, and then there's like a little scale under each heading, so low, optimal and high. So most of my results were in the optimal range, which was great. So I'm not going to go through everything because we'd be here all night, but what I am going to talk about, I'm going to abbreviate it. So Catherine, who is the girl who looked after me, the day of the blood tests. She knew I was a very active person, had a high protein diet, and I ate a lot of red meat. These were things that I told her, okay? So the red flags that came up, I wouldn't say they were red flags, but they can actually be explained as to why they were on the low end or the high end of the scale, okay? So my cholesterol was very low, all right? So it wasn't optimal, it was very low. So what that means is, you know, if you have high cholesterol, you have too much of the bad fats in your diet. So like deep fried foods, calorie dense foods, whereas, you know, I didn't even have enough healthy fats in my diet. So my cholesterol was quite low. And that's a sign that, like, you know, you should be taking cod liver oil, omega-3s, eating more fish like salmon, nuts, avocado, etc. Maybe more olive oil in your diet. So I need more of the healthy fats in my diet because I don't have enough fats in my diet full stop, but I do need more of the healthy fats. Obviously, you know, they're not going to be recommending you to be eating more deep fried foods. I just need more healthy fats in my diet. So that's something I can improve on. Now, I know a lot of people, you know, have really, really high cholesterol, and that's because they're eating too many takeaways. They probably don't exercise, like really, really high salt. They have a lot of salt in their diet as well. Thankfully now, I just don't have enough healthy fats in my diet. Like I should be having more of that. What else? My vitamin B12 was on the high end. Okay, so I told her I have a lot of red meat in my diet, and she said that's exactly why it's elevated, because she first asked me, do you supplement with B12? So do I take a B12 vitamin? And I said no. She's like, okay, so you know, the red meat obviously explains why it's elevated. She's like, I wouldn't be taking a B12 vitamin if you have a lot of red meat in your diet. She's like, maybe you could pull back a bit with the red meat, because I actually eat a lot of lean mince because I just like the taste. You know, you can marinate it in sauce. It's lower in calories. You can have more of it than you can with chicken. I just got torn off chicken lately. Like I'm just sick of eating it, and I feel like you can't have a lot of it. Or else it's not like it's high in calories, like it's full of fat. It's just for some reason it is a lot denser in calories. Like it's very high in protein, but I just feel like you can have more lean mince than you can with the amount of chicken. Like the same amount, like you could put a pile of chicken and a pile of mince beside each other, but you could have a bigger pile of mince for the same amount of calories as a lower pile of chicken, you know? So that's just the way I've been looking at it. But I'll probably just pull back now, and I'll start like implementing maybe more salmon into my diet, because I need to improve my cholesterol. I need to bring it up a bit. And, you know, salmon's really, really high in protein. And then what else? Urea was really high. So urea is obviously under the kidney heading, and your kidneys actually help break down protein. Urea actually has to work extra harder to break down protein. Sorry, I actually worded that wrong. So urea and protein are related in that urea is a waste product, which is from the breakdown of protein in the body. So I have a really, really high protein diet, so obviously there's going to be a lot more waste, aka urea, which is formed in the liver when like amino acids from protein are broken down, and it's then transported to the kidneys to be excreted in the urine. So basically, I don't know whether you've ever seen like videos and stuff, or like stuff online being like, oh, too much protein can damage our kidneys. I've never seen someone have to get a kidney removed because they had too much protein in their diet. Like, now my coach did say, I sent him the report, and he just said, we'll just take a supplement to help kind of control that, to help maybe bring the level of urea down a bit. So I'm obviously going to invest in that supplement. And then the other thing that stood out was thyroid health. So under the thyroid health, I'm just going to read the heading. Okay. The thyroid gland plays an important role in controlling the body's metabolism. By producing hormones, the thyroid hormones help the body to use energy, stay warm, and keep the heart, brain, muscle, and other organs function properly. Thyroid health, which is what was tested, consists of tests that can be used to help diagnose an underactive thyroid, which is known as hypothyroidism, or an overactive thyroid, known as hyperthyroidism. Or the test can be used to monitor the treatment of these conditions. So my thyroid-stimulating hormone was kind of optimal, lowish. My free thyroxine hormone, known as FT4, was kind of the same. And then my free triiodothyronine, sorry, that's like a Wi-Fi password, but FT3 in brackets is another name for it, was definitely more on the low end. So what is the the role of tea tree in the body. So where am I? I have it. What does it mean if it's low? So it means that your body has a lower than normal level of one of the key thyroid hormones. Tea tree plays a critical role in regulating your metabolism, energy levels, heart rate, body temperature, and overall growth and development. If your tea tree is low, it may indicate a thyroid related issue, but it depends on your full thyroid panel and symptoms. Now, my coach did say your thyroid stimulating hormone is in a good place. So it's, if that was in a lower place, like if it was in a weak spot, you'd be a bit concerned, as it would probably impact, you know, my ability to burn fat. He's like, but I wouldn't be too alarmed about it. He's like, I've seen people in a lot worse condition with a low tea tree. And he said that it shouldn't affect me that much when it comes to fat loss. But I have noticed in the past that I have had to diet on lower food as opposed to what my TDE calculator told me. So a TDE calculator gives you a number when you tell your height, weight, age, and level of activity. It gives you a number for fat loss. It gives you a number to maintain your weight, and it gives you a calorie number to put on weight. Because some women do want to put on weight because they have a really fast metabolism. Like they burn through their food and they're like, I haven't got an arse to my name. How do I put on a bit of weight here? So yeah, it's not all about fat loss. Some people actually do want to put on weight. But like, you know, that word like fast metabolism, slow metabolism gets thrown around a lot. Like I'll get a lot of messages from people being like, I think I have a slow metabolism because X, Y, and Z. And I ask them, did you go get a blood test done? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, you can't come to that conclusion that you have a slow metabolism if you haven't got the proof on paper. Like you're just throwing around terms here that you probably heard off Sandra in the staff room. Do you know what I mean? But now I have proof that I wouldn't say I have a slow metabolism. So what is metabolism? It's basically your body's ability to turn food to energy. So, you know, if your body can turn food to energy very, very quickly. So that's why we eat food, because we need energy. You know, we eat a lot of food, we have a lot of energy. So if your food can turn food to energy very quickly, you obviously have a fast metabolism. But if your body can turn, if your body turns fat, sorry, food to energy more slowly, you probably have a slower metabolism. But there's different scales. Like you can have a really, really slow metabolism, mildly slow metabolism, kind of fast metabolism, really fast metabolism. Okay, so I'm kind of like maybe just mildly slow, but to be honest, like I don't think it's impacted me that much when it comes to fat loss. I do notice that I do have to reduce my calories a bit more. You know, if a TDE calculator gives me a number, if I stick to that for 2 weeks and I'm very regimental, I'm ticking every box and the scale's still not moving, I do have to reduce my calories a bit. I do have to work that bit harder, like to drop body fat. But that doesn't mean like I have like an underactive thyroid or a slow metabolism. You know, I'm just kind of mildly tipping into that area. But I don't want people walking away from this thinking, oh, I've just listened to this podcast and now I know why I can't drop body fat. I have an underactive thyroid. No, unless you went to get a blood test and can actually prove that on paper, don't be throwing around that terminology and don't be taking my word for it. Sometimes people just don't know when to put down the fucking fork, okay? Sometimes they're given a calorie deficit, they're not obeying it, they're overeating 3 or 4 times a week, they're out on the lash on the weekend and they're sitting on the hall the whole week. And then they're coming back to you and they're like, I can't drop body fat. Why is the scale not moving? Maybe I have an underactive thyroid. No. You're just not sticking to your calorie deficit, okay? But yeah, that was interesting to find that out, because I never would have known that. I never would have known that, you know, I had low tea tree levels. Now there's supplements that you can take to kind of balance it out. I can't pronounce the name. I think it's selenium, I think it might be called, and iodine and zinc. Okay, I already have zinc. I have to get the other two. Catherine, who done my blood test, she told me those 3 supplements together can help kind of bring that up a bit, which is fine. But just back to the TDE calculator, sometimes it's not a guarantee that that will be your calorie deficit. Like sometimes you have to trial it, and you know, after 2 weeks, if you're being by the book, and when I say being by the book, you're not going out on the lash on the weekends, and you know, you're being regimental and you're doing what you're supposed to do. Say my calorie deficit was 1600 and after 2 weeks it wasn't budging, I'd probably bring it down to about 1500. I wouldn't be bringing it down to 1200. Like, are you mad? Like, yeah, actually, that's ludicrous. Why would you do that to yourself? Small gradual decreases, okay, because that's more sustainable. And then if after 2 weeks the scale starts moving, happy days. like the number that the TD calculator sometimes isn't 100%. Sometimes you do have to trial and error it, okay? And you know, sometimes you're lucky. Sometimes it does work after 2 weeks and the scale starts moving. Happy days, you don't have to decrease anything. But don't be dropping calories if you can't obey the 4 set of calories you were given, okay? Because it's still not going to change. You have to change your habits, not your calories. You have to stop going out on the lash on the weekend consistently, having 3 or 4 takeaways a week and thinking, I'll start back again on Monday. Oh, scale still hasn't changed after 3 weeks. It's not the takeaways. It's not the lack of activity. Maybe it's the calories. No, you can't obey your calorie deficit. It's nothing to do with you eating the wrong calories, and decreasing them even more still isn't going to work. You have to fix your habits, okay? So just as just to conclude there, so I maybe need to pull back on the red meat a bit, increase my healthy fats, so have more healthy fats in my diet to bring my cholesterol up. Just control my urea a bit, so I'm going to take a supplement for that that my coach recommended, because he said there's actually, he's like, yeah, you have a high protein diet, but there was other kind of factors, there was other stuff that was kind of tested there, and he said, you know, one's kind of higher than the other there, and that's not really what we want, so take this supplement. So that's why I'm taking that. So B12, healthy fats, urea, and my glucose was quite low, but that's because I fasted for 12 hours beforehand, and that's why I had low blood sugar. Because my dad's actually a diabetic, so Catherine was saying, look, there was other things that were tested around diabetes and they were fine. So the only reason you have low glucose is because you fasted. So yeah, that's pretty much it. So I don't really have anything to worry about, to be honest. You know, my coach said he's not too concerned about the thyroid thing. He said, I've seen people in a lot worse positions. So that's good to know. But yes, so I've had clients in the past who, you know, their scale didn't budge. They're being by the book. And I know they were being by the book because they were long-term clients and they were getting frustrated. And I would encourage everyone to get blood tests, but I know they are expensive. And I know I'm not too well equipped with this, but I didn't go to a GP. I went private, I did, because I actually don't have a GP. I haven't been to my GP since I've been in secondary school. Whenever I've been sick, which is few and far between, I use like an online doctor and they just send my prescription to the local pharmacy. Like, I've never had a broken bone. I've never been so ill where I had to like go to A&E. I've never stayed in a hospital overnight. So yeah, I'm barely ever sick. So I just didn't want to be like signing up to a new GP, waiting for referrals, this and that. I do have the privilege of being able to go private, so you know, it was like 300 quid, but it's an investment in your health. But again, I'm not gonna press on my clients, go get your bloods done, because not everyone has that luxury. Not everyone has 300 quid to throw away. But if you are finding that you are being by the book, you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing, you know, you're getting to the point where you're like, I actually don't want to reduce my food anymore because it will be unsustainable, and it's been like 2 or 3 months in, maybe go get your bloods done. Find out if there's something underlying that you don't know, that you aren't aware of. You know, if you've never had your bloods done, you're not going to be in the know. If you have had your bloods done before and your doctor said to you, oh, you have an underactive thyroid, or you're lacking this, or you have too much of that, you know, at least you can actually say, right, there's actually a reason why things are moving a bit slower than usual. Or slower than they should be. Yeah, but again, they can be expensive. But again, it's an investment in your health. Like, you probably spend 300 quid a month on fucking takeaways or alcohol. Like, put it towards your health. Honestly, once a year, it's an investment in your health. It's an investment in future you, okay? But again, if I do have clients that come to me and they're like getting frustrated after, you know, 8 weeks of being in a deficit, and they're like, I'm being by the book here, what the hell? I would recommend go to get bloods. And then you also get people being like, oh, I'm following everything. And then, you know, they've had a history in their check-ins of going out a lot on the weekends. And I'm like, I think it's because you're not in a calorie deficit. And they're like, no, I am. And then I will say to them, why don't you go and get bloods done? And then obviously that doesn't get done. So there's nothing I can really do then, you know, from that point. I've said, let's go see what's happening under the bonnet. But if they don't want to do that, like, there's nothing I can really do, like, to move the scale. Like, I'm doing what I can do as a coach, you know, giving you the tools. But if things still aren't moving and you're adamant you're in a calorie deficit, my only solution is to go get your bloods done, because that might explain a lot, you know. But yeah, that pretty much concludes my report. So I've nothing to worry about. I'm in good health and there's just a few minor tweaks that I need to change going forward. Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. I will be back next week with another episode, and thanks for tuning in.